Hello, this is Lois Shulman, editor of Connections, and I'm here today with Melissa McKinstry, and we're at the 2024 annual summer conference in Traverse City. Melissa is with the Right Door for Hope, Recovery, and Wellness, which has offices in Ionia, Belding, and Portland. Melissa is the chair currently?
No, I'm just a board member.
Melissa is a board member, and she was the board chair for two sets of 2 years. She was the first person served to be elected as chair four times. Melissa, I'd love for you to share your story.
Well, I was the first person served to be elected as chair, period. And then it happened that I was elected four times. My story isn't really much of a story because it doesn't really have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It only has a middle. I'm not very much aware of what happened to me. I know I've heard that I was in terrible shape. I had no future. It was very bleak. They told my parents I would die tied to a gurney on the back ward of a state hospital when I was 18. So I wasn't supposed to have any life at all, and now I'm 65. And I was born a gifted child, which was annoying. It was not a good thing to be. But I had to live with it, so I did.
How did you find out you were gifted?
I heard about it in school. I didn't know from home. They didn't tell me. I wasn't treated any different than anybody else by my family.
Did you have an IQ test?
I've had IQ tests. I memorized the whisk and the ways. So I took them so fast that it messed things up. They didn't have to ask me the questions. I knew what came next. So I'm very good at taking IQ tests, but I don't think that really generalizes to much of anything else. It just so happens I'm very good at taking IQ tests. I'm also very good at reading and reading legalese and analyzing things and collecting data. And I'm not very good at getting along with people. But I do it much better than I ever did before. And when I was in high school, I got along well when I was little. I remember being a kid, and I was supposed to graduate from high school when I was 14. And we moved when I was 14, and I went to a school in a rural area where they made me repeat high school with the same textbooks. Well, the teachers didn't know what to do with me because I got through the textbooks very quickly because I had already done them before. I had the assignments. I could just hand in already graded assignments. It was really boring. And so they gave me classes. I was the only one in our school that ever took solid geometry. And I had earth sciences where I identified the minerals in rocks and tested water to see what was in it and things like that. And in that class, most of my classes were held in closets, including earth sciences. And in earth sciences, I was in a long closet with one door. I had a lab table and a lot of serious chemicals, like arsenic and cyanide and things like this.
So you were taken out of the regular classroom?
Yeah, because they didn't know what to do with me because I didn't get along with the other kids. And I already knew the work better than the teachers did, so they had to have something for me to do. So the science teacher felt sorry for me, and the chemistry teacher, and he put me in this room and gave me all these wonderful things to do. Well, the kids didn't like me, and they built a fire in front of the door during one lunch period. and there was no other way out. And I noticed that the room was filling with smoke, and I looked up, and there was a roaring fire in a trash can in front of the door to my room, and no way for me to get out. So I'm hacking and coughing and yelling fire, and it was during lunch period. There's nobody in that part of the school. So finally, the biology teacher heard a ruckus, and he came, and he was swearing and rather upset, and he got a fire extinguisher and put out the fire and let me out. But that was what high school was like. That's how the kids treated me. They weren't very nice. And
this was in your second school,
my
right?
second school. The other school was a junior high. So in high school, they weren't nice to me. And the teachers were not much nicer. They wouldn't let me graduate. I had a manic episode in a math class, and the teacher asked me what I had for breakfast, and I said orange juice, and he said, well, what did you have in it, implying that I was drunk. And they sent me home from school. They called my parents and had me taken away. And they said I couldn't come back. And they said I had to see a doctor. So my parents took me to a doctor, and they did a lot of psychological testing. And I was in the hospital and put on meds. And I got out of the hospital, and I was out for a few weeks. And then I went back in the hospital. And then I got out of the hospital again and went to go back to school, and they said, no, you can't come back to school until we have a note from a doctor saying that you're cured. And I couldn't get a note like that, so I couldn't go back to school. So here I am, I can't graduate from high school, and I'm in the 11th grade. So I was really annoyed, and my parents were really annoyed, and they were fighting tooth and nail with the school board to let me graduate, but the school board said no. Well, there's a prestigious college in Michigan called Alma College, and it's a Presbyterian school, and they wanted me really bad. They said, we don't care if you have a high school diploma. We'll take you anyway. And then other colleges and universities around the country started sending me letters that they wanted me. Well, then my high school was shamed into giving me a diploma. So they had me take government class, which is the only class I didn't have, because you can't take that till you're in 12th grade. I read the book. I answered every question in the book. I met the government teacher in the hall one day in June. Oh, no, it wasn't in June. It was one day in the summer. And he goes, you read the book? I said, yeah. He said, you answered all the questions? I said, yeah. He goes, no one's ever done that before. You get an A. And I said, aren't you going to read my papers? I had like a ream of paper, of handwritten paper. And he said, no. And I was very angry. And I said, I could have just written on the top page and the bottom page. You don't know what's in between. And he says, I don't care. You get an A. And that was it. I graduated from high school. They sent me a diploma, and my name was spelled wrong on it. And I ended up back in the hospital. I got transferred to Grand Rapids. I was in the hospital for 11 months. I went to school. I went to college. I see I have very foggy memories. I only remember what people tell me. And I went to college from high school, and I was very ill. And I lived in a foster home while I was in college. I got kicked out of the dorms. Because it was antisocial. When I did live in the dorms, I couldn't have a roommate because no one could live with me because I was so odd.
What about your parents?
My parents? I didn't have much to do with my parents. I don't remember.
So when you went to college, there was a disconnect with them. That's why you said you were foster?
I think I saw them often. But I don't remember it. Yeah, and I remember sitting in the middle of my room in the dormitory and a guy coming and saying, knock, knock, knock on the door. And I said, come in. And he opened the door and he looked at me he was a Vietnam vet and was on the GI Bill, and he looked at me and he goes, "Are you a slob?" And I looked around my room, and there were piles of newspapers and books and lots of books and newspapers. And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess so." And that's about all I remember of college. So then I went in the hospital for 11 months. And I was in and out of hospitals. I was on an ACT team for 25 years. But to me, it was not a struggle. I mean, I had bad days, I'm sure, but I didn't remember. I had a past that haunted me, and it was awful. But I got over it eventually. I don't know how, but I did. I forgave the people that were involved. Everything was fine. And I just forgot about it. I literally forgot about it. I don't remember. And I got through every day, no matter how bad it was, because I didn't have a future. I still don't have a future. I don't think about tomorrow very much, other than I make a to-do list for things that have to be done, like pay bills. But I, as far as having hopes and dreams, I don't have those. I don't need them. And as far as looking back at the past and wanting to relive things, there's nothing I want to relive. Do I have regrets? No, don't. It just didn't seem, it would be a necessary worry. I don't care to do that to myself, so I don't.
So now what is, you sort of told us, but what is your way of looking at the world and how you navigate it now?
Well, I had ECT in between, I think April of 2015 and November of 2017.
Melissa, what's ECT?
ECT is electroconvulsive therapy. In slang, it's called shock therapy. And it has a very bad reputation. It's used as a very last resort when people are slipping away into nothingness or they're dying. And I was in that situation, and my psychiatrist ordered ECT, and I, after a couple years of treatment, the whole world changed. I mean, I saw the world in black and white, and now all of a sudden it had color, which was really bizarre. And I could look at people in the eye, and I could touch people. I don't like it, but I can do it. And I still don't like to look people in the eye, but I can do it. And it changed my whole life. I became gregarious. I became a public speaker. I got involved in all kinds of activities and volunteer work. I did volunteer work and stuff, and I was on the board before then, but it was a lot harder. And I sang in the choir, but I don't remember it. And I don't really remember anything before 2017, just little bits and pieces and things that I've heard. I keep journals. I've been keeping them since I was in junior high. I have hundreds of thousands of pages, and I never read them. I write them, and I put them in a box. I have lots of boxes. My poor niece gets them when I die. They're in my will. I didn't feel stigma, except from doctors. Not from regular people. I've had some doozies of doctors. I just want people to know that I wasn't broken. One thing I disagreed with my parents a lot was that they treated me like I was broken. They still do. My mom says my life was a waste. And I don't think my life was a waste. My life wasn't what anyone ever expected it would be. It wasn't what the people who thought I would do well expected it would be, and it wasn't what the people who expected I would do ill expected it to be. It was just whatever it was, and that's what I got. And I think it's pretty good, and I'm happy with it. And I look at my mental illness as a chronic illness, like lupus or arthritis, and I deal with it on a daily basis. It flares up and it ebbs, and that's just like any other chronic illness. And I wish people that more people who had it would treat it that way instead of seeing it as a devastating curse, because it isn't. It's just your life. That's what you got. And if you look at it as a curse, it's a lot harder to live with than if you just look at it as like, well, that's what I woke up to today. Let's see what I can do with it. Try to make the best of what I've got. Some days I don't want to make the best of what I've got, but the next day I might. You never know. I take it a day at a time, and I don't. That's just the way it is. Not to say that my life was easy. It wasn't. But I don't. It didn't make any difference what it was. It only makes a difference what it is.
And sitting with you here today, people can only hear your voice and hear my voice, but you have on a beautiful blouse, yellow with pinks and greens, and you've been looking at me in the eye.
I have.
And when I met, yes, and when I met you about 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, the first thing I thought was, she's a happy woman. You gave off a good energy of happiness and peacefulness. So I'm so happy that you decided to share, and I hope that people listening to this will perhaps reach out and go onto the website of your board, because there is posted a video that you've done, and I applaud all your amazing work.
I have five volunteer jobs. I don't work. I don't get paid, but I have five volunteer jobs. I didn't end up a wasted life. I help people all the time. I have tons of information in my head that I disseminate to anyone who has a question. And if I don't know the answer, I usually know where to find it. I help people all the time, and I wasn't supposed to do that.
Well, you helped me today to know Melissa.
Yeah.
And to hear your story is inspiration for me.
Well, I'm glad.
And thank you for participating. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Just that if you make it through today, you can try to make it through the next day. You only have to make it through one day. That's all.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, and that the part of your life that is extremely meaningful.